This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
What do you think makes a TV show or a movie infinitely rewatchable? And I'm glad we talked about this yesterday because, I'm Johnny Movie Quote in here, but you know I don't own any movies. I think the only movies that I own are the ones that Spiegel gets. Like, he gets sent, which I still to this day don't know how he gets sent all these free movies. Like, he gets sent movies that some of them are just making their way out of theaters.
Yeah, I'd like to know how to get myself on that list, whatever list it is. It's some movie studio, I would assume, or some distributor that I guess wants to, you know, wants Spiegel to talk about their movies, which he never does, but he gets them.
Yeah. And he gives them to us. Yeah. And I mean, he has like kids' films and got like Get Out and documentaries. It's always a square rectangular box. It's sitting up on the front desk. And we know, like, okay, it's a Spiegel movie package. Let's get a look. Let's see what it is. And more often than not, he's very, very generous about giving the ones that he doesn't want to us. And those are the only movies that I own, I get from you.
Yeah. I own a ton of movies. Like, my whole TV stand is filled with movies, and they're overflowing into the basement now, and 80% of which are not mine. They're like Chiquita's.
Yeah.
And like you said, we don't watch any of them. And yeah, Here's the thing. In 10 years from now, you're not going to need any of them because you're going to be able to stream
it's all
everything.
Digital. I'm repeat. He had a VHS collection in Waldorf that rivaled Blockbusters, and you never watched them. And then by the time he wanted to get rid of them to make space for them, I think he got $20 for the collection that probably cost him $8,000.
I try to take a bunch of them over to Soundgarden, and they're very, very particular with what they take because they know what will resell and what won't,
yeah,
and
exactly
what they have in stock. So you only are able to unload 4 or 5 at a time. You get nothing for them. I literally want to pull a dumpster up to my house, and I've been threatening to do it to Chiquita. I'm pulling a dumpster up. I'm throwing all the movies out, or maybe I'll just give them away for free.
Bring them in. Oh, my God. Next week, win Scott's movie collection.
Part of me just wants to throw them out. And I want to throw 3/4 of what's in my basement in a dumpster and just get rid of it.
Well, we had a good talk about stuff you can infinitely rewatch over and over again on Behind the Curtain. This came up yesterday after I had bounced to watch a bunch of gentlemen jackhammer a fireplace off from the wall, and you guys got talking about stuff that you could just watch over and over and over. If it comes on, you're damn right I'm watching John Connor tell Sarah, "Mom, you have to have sex with Kyle Reese. You have to have sex with Kyle Reese, Mom. Hard. Lest I not lead the humans against the machines in the future." Shows, movies, stuff that if it's on, you're watching it. Don't care where it's at. Don't care if you've seen it 50 times. You're going to watch it. Predator, Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, if I'm in the mood. And you rattled off some good ones earlier at the beginning of the program. If there's anything, it's like Food Network competition shows or travel shows.
Yeah, movies are one thing because they, they may be movies and comedies. Like, you can relive the humor of like a sitcom or something. It's the shows that don't really, they just exist. I don't know. Maybe they don't really tap into emotion. Like a movie like Terminator is, action thriller. But when you're sitting there watching, they have these marathons now, like on the weekends and stuff. So I know Mike's big one is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, right? I could watch, those are a half hour each. I could probably watch 6 of those in a row, having seen all 6 and rewatch all 6.
Especially if I'm gearing up for a meal, and I know I really want to get myself hungry, watch that for like 20 minutes, you're good to go.
But what is the point of like, why are we rewatching like a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? Or I'll do the, I'm a big car show guy. That's pretty much all I watch is car shows. Like overhauling where they redo the car. I know how the car turns out. I've seen the episode.
Yeah.
I still watch it
over.
And
when they do the cliffhanger going into commercial,
when we return,
will they finish?
Is the engine block cracked or can they save it? Like, I know they can save it. I know.
Moonshiners. Moonshiners was another one. Like, hey, keep your head down. I hear something in the underbrush. It might be a local marshal. It's not. It's a squirrel. I know it's a squirrel. I've seen the squirrel jump out, and they all laugh, start slapping their knee, and Jim Tom takes another sip of shine behind the marigold bush.
Oh, I remembered a good one, which I actually got back into this past weekend. I hadn't watched in a while. Treehouse Masters.
Oh, yeah.
I will sit there and watch for a couple
hours.
I used
to watch that show. I tapped out on that show. The guy was just too goofy.
You get mad watching
staged
that show ever? Like,
Yeah, of course
I do.
They're spending $80,000 on a treehouse. I'm looking for a real house. I can't even afford anything. I'm like, F you.
Yeah, like, you're building a $200,000 house and a freaking oak tree. You, your family, whatever business that you built from the ground up. I want one so bad. Seinfeld is probably the most infinitely rewatchable show. I think you'd agree, Josh. When that thing comes on, you're going to watch it. Will you watch it even if it starts midway through? Like, if you don't catch
definitely.
It?
Definitely. I've seen each episode probably a million times.
Is there one episode that you can't stand that you'll turn off if you...
You know, all the ones that were made after Larry David left were really just not up to par, not the same, not as wonderful as when he was Larry David was there.
I guess I wasn't that much of a Seinfeld connoisseur to be able to identify the ones that he wasn't... It didn't have a hand.
Yeah, if you go back and watch it, I think you'll notice.
Huh. Let's go to the phones. 410-338-1098. 410-338-1098. Let's go to Brian, Glen Burnie. Brian, thank you for holding.
CSI Vegas all the time. It doesn't matter who's the head guy. I watch all the time. Nothing like New York or Miami.
Yeah, procedural cop drama shows. I'll just lump them all together. If there's going to be like a Law and Order, CSI.
God, no, CSI. Did you say Vegas?
Vegas, yeah, Vegas. Who's in Vegas? Which one's got LL Cool J?
I try not to judge people, but when I know people watch that much CSI,
yeah, I have. I judge them. I immediately judge.
They go into a different category.
Oh, that's with Gil Grissom. I love that one. Oh, yeah, that may be my favorite CSI.
I've watched maybe two episodes of that, and I'm just like, who watches this?
Oh, man, you're sitting 4 feet from him. Oh, yeah, Ted Danson's in that. Marg Helgenberger.
Just when you see, like, the cast photo alone is enough to make me tap out.
Oh, yeah.
And not even having watched it.
When there's so many good real crime
dramas
on.
Watch the first 48. Why would you watch that?
Did anyone watch Special Victims Unit? Just for the creepy angles.
I have never seen any of those.
Oh, yeah, because Special Victims Unit is the one where like someone definitely got like felt up in an orphanage. Those are the ones I'll watch. I'll watch the hell out of that thing. A discussion was had, and we wanted you to be a part of it. Just when it comes on, and you have to find out, will they be able to rebuild Alex Murphy? Will he be able to clean up the streets of Detroit City? Will he regain his humanity from OCP? RoboCop, it comes on, I watch it, all right? Television shows, movies that no matter how many times you've seen the effing thing, you're gonna watch it. We got a ton of people checking in. The Hammer says Trailer Park Boys, every single time. Ghostbusters, every single time. What else are some other great ones? A lot of Game of Thrones. A lot of people say Game of Thrones. Waterboy, absolutely.
Nah, that's what I call them. Hot water, H2O.
I tell you what, and it's on all the time now. Apocalypto will take 15 minutes
insane.
Of my time. Yeah, it's such a great movie.
I've always wanted to do the close a wound with an ant trick, like the woman in the bottom of the pit.
It's a real thing.
I've always wanted to like do it on purpose, just to have a couple of fire ants just close a wound on my arm. I think they did that on one of those survival shows, Dual Survival, the one hippie with the barefoot in the woods. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we ask you 410-338-1098. If it's on, you're watching it. Let's go to, I've never even heard of this. Mike Towson, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, it's Viceland has that Wong's World or Wang's World, whatever it's called.
Wong's World.
It goes around different countries.
Yeah.
Had me a Wang.
Great show. You rewatch that all the time. It's kind of like he's like a Anthony Bourdain, but like Viceland's. He's like an Asian.
Yeah, and they'll usually play marathons of it, and I'll watch like 4 hours of it.
Yeah.
the marathons kill me.
Thank you, buddy.
I'll sit there for hours. I'm such a loser. Oh. I'm such a waste of life.
Don't
sit there for hours with a marathon.
El Rey will F you up. If there's a kickboxer, or they do a lot of like Shaolin stuff, or Bruce Lee stuff, or Jet Li, if you like kung fu films, and you like 19 of them in a row to the point where your back hurts, where you start it after breakfast and you finish it and you're like, oh, look, the sun's been down for 4 hours. El Rey. Yeah, and like Bourdain. Like, man, I watched Bourdain, No Reservations and the other one. No Reservations was the first one. Mm-hmm. And they had the CNN show.
Yeah,
what was that called?
One. I can't remember.
But it's No Reservations with a different package. And it's not even about the food for me. It's just the travel. Like, I'm just so landlocked in place at this point because of family obligations and a house that's crumbling around me and crippling anxiety, that I don't think I can
travel as much like the way this guy does. So I gotta like I like live through him.
I think it's more also for the marathons and watching the reruns. Like a rerun of Seinfeld, I get they're hilarious. You're gonna laugh, but when you're watching, I just got a text here: Pawn Stars and yes. Antique Roadshow. If you're watching reruns of that, you already know how much the thing costs,
yes.
and you've already know, you know, whether or not it's worth it. Is this a real, did George Washington really sign this? If you've seen the episode, you know it's a forgery.
Yeah, it was your Uncle
you'll
Phil.
I don't know.
I will still watch Storage Wars knowing that the $3,000 unit that he paid for is just filled with drink coasters, and the one that guy bought for $10 has a Lamborghini in it.
Yeah.
I know that, and I'll still watch it because I'm just a moron. Joe, Pasadena, I can't agree with you more. Tell him.
Oh, man, Tombstone's got to be one of the most quotable movies of all time, man. Yeah, we do it all the time at work, and pretty much everybody I hang out with, just all the time.
All right, Tombstone. Hey, while we got you, you want to win some Anthony Bourdain tickets?
I'd love to.
All right, you're going to finish this quote. It's one of my favorite quotes from the film. Very simple. I have two guns.
One for each of you.
That's it, baby. Get him some tickets to see Anthony Bourdain. God bless you.
We have Anthony Bourdain tickets?
Are not Anthony Bourdain. David Blaine. David Blaine tickets. Anthony Bourdain and David Blaine.
Something.
And David Wayne. And David Bowie. Yeah, sorry about that. David Blaine, magician. Anthony Bourdain, yeah, he's not coming to town. But David Blaine, the magician, is. I think I'd rather see him live. Mike, I'm putting that dude on hold.
I have two guns. One for each of you. You called down the thunder? Well, now you got it!
Hell yeah, that is one of the most quotable films of all time. Hook that man up. Let's go to Tim in Columbia. I agree with half of this. Tim, what's up?
What's going on?
Hey.
Kill Bill series, volume 1 and 2, man. Can't get enough of it.
I can watch Kill Bill 1 infinitely. Kill Bill 2, I can maybe watch snippets of.
Right.
Yeah. You think they'll ever do a 3?
It's possible. There's rumors that they're going to do one, but we'll see what happens.
Copy that. Let's go to line 2. Phil, Parkville, what's up?
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, Phil?
Hey.
Oh, God, am I loud as hell?
No, you're good.
All right. I was saying RoboCop.
Dude.
Not the remake.
Hell yeah. I'm rewatching RoboCop.
I'll watch RoboCop.
All day.
Did you watch RoboCop? What about RoboCop 2 with Kane?
No, they're toilet.
Watch your mouth, sir.
He said not 2. He distinctly said number 1 only.
You watch your mouth, sir. RoboCop 2 is watchable. It ain't as good as RoboCop 1, but RoboCop 2, highly watchable. Here's some TV shows. Baltimore Joe checking in. Baltimore Joe, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up there?
Hey, I mean, whenever I go to my parents' house for dinner or something, they constantly watch MASH, Everybody Loves Raymond, Andy Griffith Show. But me and my dad, our number one thing to watch, no matter where it is, mm-hmm. is The Replacements.
The Replacements? What the hell's The Replacements?
What was The Replacements? The football movie
that was recorded at the Raven Stadium.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the band The Replacements. They're from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Initially a punk rock band, they were considered the pioneers of alternative rock. Let's go to one more here. Let's go to Scott and Crofton. Scott, thank you for holding.
Hey, man.
Hey.
For TV shows, it's got to be Breaking Bad. I could watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Okay.
And movies, True Lies with Arnold, man. That
yes.
Movie's
yes. Okay, let me ask you.
The scene.
The scene. Okay, it's the only time, Scott, both on phone and in studio, including Josh and Mike, that my father and I both got steamed up at the same time.
Oh.
Yeah, it was weird, man. Like, we had mutual father-son erections where when she was dancing around the bed to Arnold with the voice modulator and you couldn't see his face, but Jamie Lee Curtis was grinding that ass up and down those bedposts. Did you feel the thrash?
Hell yeah, dude. Killing
I mean,
moves.
You have to. When she slicks her hair back, it's the best part.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh, Revelation Week 2. Last week, dealing with all the back end stuff. This week, we ran around to the front door. And Josh, you revealed that though you never get a look at your downstairs entertainment district, the crotch, you do have to still feel around down there while you shower. And you said that you have enough growth to make a ponytail?
Yes, not necessarily a ponytail, but pigtails.
Holding your fingers up. Holding your fingers up. How long would you think that the strand would be?
Maybe this long. A
couple inches.
Yeah, a couple inches.
2-3 inches.
Yeah. That's the downtown dining and entertainment district.
Yes, that's the town square.
Now, it's just I'm repulsed by the sight of it, and I have to groom. That's what it's come down to.
For what, though?
Well, first of all, that's hurtful.
No, I mean, for what? It wasn't hurtful. It was a question.
Because if I have...
I mean, your body grows that hair for a reason, right? It's the way your body's supposed to be, yeah, so why do you need
but
to...
But it's just... it's gross. It's just... I don't... I for myself.
And it's got to...
And if I ever get lucky...
It's got to retain odor, too.
An odor? No, I'm actually showering regularly on a daily basis.
And debris, you know, you have a lot. You baby powder heavily. You'll hear in the break coming up. You do discuss that there's so much baby powder in the room that it looks like a cocaine deal went badly, and you know, handfuls of yayo were thrown in the air. So you get that stuff trapped and entangled and crusted in the muff.
Yeah,
it's got to look like a bundt cake or something. It's, oh God. Would you feel comfortable bringing in one single strand? Would just love to see just one of the longer ones. Are you comfortable actually looking at the shavings?
Let me see how it goes. I'll take care of it this week, and I'll you know, get the courage to do that. And
over the weekend,
okay.
Take your time, because I remember on Friday you brought in your trimmer and I attached the guard to it,
right,
so you now have it the proper length.
I remember that.
So as you go and you clear cut those fields,
yes,
bring in some of the wheat.
I'll do my best.
Josh has got crotch issues. I'm behind the curtain.
And this is for you, Josh, because your girl, Venus Williams, moving on.
Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Venus does things for my penis.
What was that,
Josh? How about Serena?
What'd you say? Buddy?
Venus does things for my penis.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Pretty heavy statement.
Very nice.
Yeah, very heavy. If you've ever seen me in the nude.
Whoa.
Serena.
Overweight
get crotch. Between you.
Oh, God.
I would have started playing these Venus highlights a couple of years ago if I knew they were going to elicit this response.
I haven't seen my crotch in months because I don't look at myself in the mirror.
Oh, turning that down, turning this up.
Sometimes you have to touch that area.
Oh,
and
what do you mean sometimes?
When I tell you I have to trim, it's probably been 8 months. And you could probably...
When's the last time the old chief of staff had a haircut?
You could probably... I'm not even kidding. You could probably make pigtails.
Oh, no! Come on!
Out of the corners.
Do you curl? You curl it with a
no,
curler?
It's disgusting. It's so gross.
It is sick, man.
Oh, I just... Because...
Because what?
No, because you're going to make fun of me if I tell you. I have an electric razor, but I don't know how to... I don't know how to put the... What is that, a
the
guard?
The clip on it.
The clip on... I don't know how... I either can go full blast or nothing. I can't figure
out...
You can't figure out how to put one of those plastic clips
no,
on the end of
if
your,
you bring it in, come I'll on. Attach it for
okay.
you and send you home with it.
I
we'll
should
do it
that.
Tomorrow.
I should do that.
I think a couple of lady listeners should come over and help him
so
out.
So the last
color
time...
Color me a lady.
The last time I did it, I... Virtually, I became it was.
You gave a buzz cut to Harry Houdini?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's even worse because then you can see everything.
Scott brings up a good point. Oh. Like, you said you haven't touched it. I mean, how do you go to the bathroom?
Is it matted?
Oh, I don't stand in the bathroom. I never really stand because I have all sorts of hang ups in the bathroom, sorts of phobias, and I always sit. So the only thing I have to do is kind of fold it. Fold it down.
Oh, God.
Fold it. Make sure it's
folded.
You gotta know when to hold them.
Make sure.
When to fold.
No, what you got?
Oh,
I've had problems.
My chest is tight.
Folded.
Like, this is years ago, but since you asked,
no, I don't. Isn't this sports?
God, that's
oh, yeah.
It's if you get too close. If you're sitting,
I'm embarrassed.
You get too close to the front. You know, like where the separation between the seat and the bottom of the toilet. Then you could have a mess. Outside, like you got to make sure you're folded in.
Oh, you mean you push it down?
You gotta make sure everything's aimed where it needs
to
be aimed.
Okay. That's right.
I'll tell you what. I mean, if we're sharing, I went to have a bowel movement the other day.
Oh, okay.
the number two, the long stay.
Here we go.
And I noticed the state of my front equipment. It was like micro. You ever get like where it's like.
Yeah.
Oh, the old button mushroom?
Oh, oh my. I was alarmed. I said, what happened?
Looks like a button on the first.
Holy hell.
Yeah, lad. Where do you be 60? You kidding me?
It was micro. I mean, I would categorize it as micro.
Looks like a robin's egg in the nest.
Yes.
That's never happened to me.
Where'd it go?
It happens all the time.
Josh, really? I heard Josh got the slide rule out the other day.
Wow. Richard and the twins need a trim.
You guys asked. So
bring it in tomorrow. We'll attach it to the length that you think you'd like a number two or a three guard.
No more than a two.
Yeah. Do a two.
And all it took, guys. Little Serena. Venus, not Serena.
I'll have to clean it off because there's a lot of powder on it my bathroom is covered in baby powder.
Oh my God.
Because when I use so much powder on myself after the shower.
On the zipper ripper.
That it just flies all over the place. It's like covered in powder.
It's got to be caked on your crotch here too, right?
It looks like a magician just made their entrance. There's still like smoke in there.
Oh, goodness.
Josh, I will make a $1,000 donation to the charity of your choice for a picture of that thing.
Yes, please bring a picture.
Uh-huh. Oh, goodness. I don't think I could do that.
Come on.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Ah, boy, might have dove head deep into something we should have researched a little bit better. I brought a Life Straw in on Thursday. A Life Straw is a product that you take if you hike or you camp along a riverbed or somewhere, riverside. And it's a straw, just the same way you'd put in a drink, except you put it in a questionable body of water. You suck.
Oh, hello there.
And you suck it through a filtration system, and it's supposed to give you clean water. Well, the only source of filthy water that we had, we were going between two things. One, do we get water out of the toilet? Or do we get water out of like a puddle in the parking lot? And if our texters and tweeters are to be believed, shockingly, the toilet might have been the better idea of the two. And they actually went with the parking lot water instead, which, from what I'm being told by everyone online, will kill us in the next few days.
Nah, just drink lots of water. You'll be all right.
Yeah, Mike, I'm going to need as much water as possible. You were all sketched out by the texts and tweets that we got.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Yep, they're saying one of the things that they can't filter out is chemicals. Chemicals, salt water, heavy metals, and viruses are not removed by the Life Straw. And I'm pretty sure there's plenty of chemicals and heavy metals, not just talking about the music that we play, in the water out there. So I already convinced myself that I had a headache that day.
Well, here it is Saturday, and we're still alive, I think.
Yeah. Because we are live here right now.
It says you don't need to drink a lot of antifreeze to go through kidney failure. Your body will throw it up before it will fail. All right, so we'll puke before we die.
So our bodies will reject it before the chemicals, the noxious chemicals, take effect. It's a cool device, though. I mean, it's an interesting device. So, if you're camping, pick one up. But we don't recommend you drinking out of a full pothole anytime soon because I feel like my stomach lining's eating away at itself. We drank puddle water. Coming up, I'm Behind the Curtain. Mike, you got the juice?
We got the juice, baby.
You got the juice, baby. I occasionally get into the... I gotta stop getting on Amazon while I'm drinking.
What is it? The Amazon Prime deals?
They do these Prime, one-day deals.
There's a sucker born every minute.
I get good stuff, though. Some stuff's great. I got Jordans. I got, I bought pillow covers.
See?
I don't know why. All my pillows are fine. I like the pattern, though. They all look like a Pac-Man board, and I don't know where to put them. And then recently, because it's like a little surprise, you drink and you order something and you forget that you did it, and then it's like getting a present at your front door that you got yourself. I apparently ordered an Xbox offline, but like an old one, and it's got like 1,000 games on the thing. I don't remember doing it. I can't wait. It's gonna be fun. See, some people drive, some people fight their spouses, some people scream at their kids. Me, I go shopping. and I ordered something from Vestigard called the Life Straw. Now, what this is meant for is when you go, like, backpacking, hiking, somewhere where your water source might be minimal, if not non-existent, and you can't carry too much water, you take this Life Straw, you stick it in a bottle of water, and then you get sucking.
Whoa, it's lighter than I thought.
And there's a filter inside of the thing that filters it in real time.
What kind of filter?
I didn't look it up. I just trust the packaging.
You didn't even look what kind of filter's in here. I'm assuming there's some charcoal in here.
They have a website.
I would assume that.
There's got to be, yeah, let's look up, see what the...
And how do you know the lifespan of this thing? How do you know when it's not filtering anymore?
I've got like 1,000 gallons of the thing.
You can suck 1,000 gallons.
Even without that life straw. Yeah, you can. You have like 1,000 gallons until that filter starts going bad. It removes 99.999% of bacteria, 99.9% of protozoa. It meets NSF 53 standards. I don't know what the F that is.
So it's Vestigard Life Straw.
Yeah, 2-stage filter, removing all that stuff, also reducing chemical and bad odor tastes.
I can't believe how light it is. I thought it would be denser and heavier for some reason.
Yeah.
Have you held it, Mike?
No.
Tell me if you're surprised by the weight of that.
You think it'd be a little heavier?
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's much in there.
No, yeah, right. I think it's a scam.
Yeah.
So wait, are you going to drink something through it right now?
Excuse me. 1,000 ounces. 1,000 gallons. 26 gallons, 100 liters, 3 months of continuous use using carbon capsules.
Carbon, I knew it. Yeah,
oh, it's definitely carbon.
It's always carbon.
It's got a filter membrane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
got a bunch of crap in there. I dunk in an awful water, I suck, and I taste better water.
Do we have awful water?
I think we have awful water. Mike, did we get awful water?
I had assistant producer Zach go outside. It's pouring down rain, and he went to a puddle.
No way.
Filled up a cup.
We got a cup of puddle water, and you're going to drink it, dude?
I got a cup of puddle water.
Is it over there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bring me that cup of puddle water from that gross, fetid,
let me see it,
awful parking lot of ours that's covered in...
Oh, there is a color to that.
Is there?
There is a color to that.
Oh, it looks like stock.
And there's sediment at the bottom.
It looks like stock. Like
you're
going to
drink
stock.
This?
Hell yeah, with my Life Straw.
Wait, do we have to have him sign something?
Nah,
say it on air. Say it on air.
I promise not to sue Hearst if I happen to get a little bit of the butt flu or whatever. Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Oh, that's gnarly.
Timeout. Have you used this thing at all ever before?
I just took it out of the packaging yesterday. So
do you have to suck?
Pretty hard, so I should be fine. All right, let's go. So we just take this thing.
No, don't put that on. No.
Hold it up for me. Hold that up for me, because I'm going to see if I can...
Put it anywhere near the board.
Put it on the board, but not near it. All right, so we got to...
Mike's just going to hold it. Hold it up closer to the...
People are sending in like links and stuff that... There's comedy duos that are like drinking each other's waste through it. Ugh. All right, here we go. Life Straw, drinking.
Oh, wow, the website's like a real website.
Parking lot. Yeah, I ain't GeoCities, baby. This is off of Amazon. If it's on Amazon, you can trust them.
Okay.
I don't know. I also bought a weird, like, charcoal toothpaste, and it turned my teeth gray for a week. All right, so
Life Straw product prevents common waterborne diseases, including cholera, diarrheal disease, dysentery, gastroenteritis. Guinea worm? What the hell's guinea worm?
No, if there's guinea
worm in
this...
Hepatitis E? Yeah. I didn't know there was an E.
Been there. I got hepatitis D. Here we go.
Typhoid fever? Oh, yeah, you're good. Drinking puddle water through a Life Straw. Are you getting it already? You still have to... he's getting water. He's getting water through the Life Straw. Back parking lot puddle water. Oh, he got it.
That's fresh and clean.
Really?
Suck some puddle water.
Give me some puddle water.
Have some puddle water.
I want puddle water.
Suck.
I wonder if we can get another cup and see what it looks like after you
drain
it.
Yeah, Mike, that's a great idea. It's puddle water.
Puddle water.
Puddle water.
Wow.
Whoa.
That tastes amazing.
We're badass.
Mike, drink puddle water.
Mike, suck on some puddle water.
Life Straw for life.
Woo!
He ain't going to do it.
I'm gonna drink toilet water.
Here, turn the mic on. What mic is that?
You're all the way up.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, now, Josh had a great idea. Can you get a clear cup and spit some puddle water into
Zach
it just
into
to see
it?
The color?
Zach, bring in a clear cup.
Clear cup, Zach. All right, here you go. Get sucking.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Suck, 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 suck.
And I would imagine that puddle water is not that bad. I mean, you go to some of these third world countries.
It tastes fine.
Yeah?
Well, taste is one thing.
I don't think so.
I don't think microorganisms have a taste.
I don't even want to go near it.
We've all put our lips on that thing, right? You think he's going to be doing that? Now, Mike, now here's what you got to do. Put your lips back on it and blow, because apparently you catch water in the filter, and that's how you clean it out. So do it away from the mics, but and lift it out of the cup so you can see it. You have to blow the excess water out of there. See that?
It says LifeStraw water filters convert contaminated water into clean, safe drinking water. Easy-to-use filters are a vital tool for some of the 780 million people who don't have access to safe drinking water.
Dude, that parking lot has oil, gasoline, chemicals, carcinogens.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, we're going to get so sick. Mike, bring me a mug of toilet water. It's go time.
Yeah, does it account for those kind of things?
I don't know.
Because we just drank like oil. Grimy parking lot water.
Yeah, we just drank 10W30
water.
Don't
start texting us.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No,
I don't know, because I know that people are going to be thinking of things we're not thinking about. Our listeners are very smart.
Oh, man, you got up. You up real bad. I did a study on them things myself at Slackjaw University. Apparently, parking lot water is the only thing it doesn't filter. I mean, it tastes
Justin,
good.
I go on long hikes, and those kind of filters are very useful. Don't always taste or look great, but can drink right out of the crick.
Is that great?
Parking lots have lots of oil and grease spills from cars. I don't think that straw can filter that.
Oh no. Jesus. I drank a lot, too. Like, I had a big chug.
Well.
Oh, hell.
Well.
Oh, boy. I don't feel good.
There goes my Thursday.
Great.
There goes my Thursday.
Mike, you might want to call Rob.
That thing is
Joe.
Not going to filter out antifreeze, which will cause kidney failure.
Oh my God.
Antifreeze?
What?
Oh, my God. Antifreeze, that is so bad.
Should we induce vomiting?
Yeah, Epitac or whatever that's called.
I drank a lot. Like, yeah, quite a bit.
Antifreeze? That's bad.
That's alarming.
I had a pretty big gulp. I had a pretty large swaller.
That's assuming there's antifreeze out there. And it's also assuming that the antifreeze was not diluted by the water which created the puddle.
It's been raining for quite some time.
We'll
I'm going to continue to say things to make myself feel better, even though inside right now I'm freaking the F out.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So my home renovations are underway. Shout out Cox Roofing. And we talked about it, and you'll hear the calls coming up of people that found stuff in the midst of renovations. You know, I set aside a $5,000 budget to have such and such redone. $17,000 right later because my foundation was rotted out or the ceiling and attic was filled with asbestos. It all goes to hell on you. So far, so good. If I had to guess what might cause a problem for me in my house, I think the fireplace is going to work out okay.
Yeah,
I think the stairwell is going to work out okay.
Fireplace seems mainly cosmetic.
The fireplace is, at this point, 90% cosmetic. So is the stairwell, too. It's going to be the boys' bathroom, where we're having a fan installed. Plumbing. What all that moisture and lack of ventilation has done to all the sheetrock and the beams.
Is there a window in that room?
Nothing.
There's nothing.
It's a closet with a shower in it. It's got nowhere to go. And we actually got a plumber. And I'm glad we're doing this on Behind the Curtain. We got a guy that said, hey, in rooms that don't have a window or a fan, that you could actually have ventilated outlets. There's outlets with ventilation in them. And I asked about that yesterday. And like, that's a thing. And you don't have them. So those are just standard buy them from Lowe's outlets. So that's my fear right now, is that they're going to cut that thing open. I watched that on an episode like Flip or Flop once. So they redid some ratty ass bathroom. They pulled the drywall down and it looked fine. It
mold
everywhere.
Yeah. We actually looked at two houses last night, two more houses. And it's just, it's like you said, you know, I don't know. You don't know what lurks beneath. One was like a foreclosure, so like people hadn't been in a while.
So they treated it like ass.
It was in Phoenix and it was like really remote. And I was just like, this is kind of a cool location. We'd be like in the middle of nowhere and we could do whatever the hell we want. But it's like, you just don't know.
You don't know.
It's Pandora's box. I'm worried that you're getting into a Pandora's box situation.
We'll see coming up. I don't want to see when they open up those walls. They're like, oh, hey, we have some.
You might want to come take a look at this. That's a sentence I don't hear. Yeah, right. You might want to come take a look. Because I don't, and I just want you to fix it. I want the bill to be the same. One of those walls is a little soft. And I'm not, it's a thing. It's an ongoing situation. I'm getting renovations done. You shared some of your horror stories with us on Behind the Curtain.
You have a big day for you today. Big day.
Yeah, I'm sick of pitching a bitch all the time. And Lord knows you, dear, sweet friend and fan of the program, are sick of listening about it. My house has been falling down around me ever since I bought the damn thing and found out that the dude before me that thought himself a bit of a do-it-yourselfer, didn't know how to do it, but he did it himself regardless. So I reached out to my good friends at Cox Roofing, BLC Construction, Chris, what's up? Sending over a crew, and I just had him walk through like a month ago. I'm like, fix that, repair that, install that, destroy that. And today's the day where they break ground on it. 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. I want to find out if you've ever had like a home remodel, and as they pulled the floors up, they pulled the roof out, they come and get you and said, we found something, and you're not going to like this.
Especially in older homes, man.
Your floorboards, well, they're covered in the... there's human skulls underneath of the floorboards. We've had a bunch of weird runes and some satanic inscriptions underneath of the floorboards. You guys might want to move. Hey, you guys happen to know a preacher or a shaman? Because, man, this thing is covered in pentagrams. Or burst pipes, rot, Chinese drywall, asbestos. Lord knows what you're going to find. And they'll get it fixed and they'll get it taken care of. But still, 410-338-1098, give us a ring. Here's what I'm having done. I have to get a stairwell essentially replaced.
Wow. I don't even know how to do that.
I don't know how to do either, and neither did the dude before me, but he thought he did, and he fired up a YouTube tutorial and decided to build a stairwell. So the angle on it is not 90 degrees. It's not correct. It's not true.
Uh-huh.
It's the stair, the step portion is not 90 degrees that you put your foot on. It's in. So if you place a ball on the edge of it, it rolls forward towards the next step, meaning the whole damn thing's leaning in, that at some point it's going to give.
Oh!
Then downstairs, I have a fireplace.
Fireplace.
Every time I turn the damn thing on, the inside of it stinks, it smokes, the outside of it gets way too hot because they redid it with materials that are not, they're not heat tested, they're not flame retardant. So the outside, the way outside of the fireplace would get, I mean, red hot to the touch.
Did it for cosmetic reasons. 100%. They didn't even use it.
Yeah, like, let's get this thing painted, glopped on, have some jackass purchase it, and let's hit the bricks. Well, this jackass here is the one that dropped a dime on it. So today I'm getting the whole, that thing is going to get all ripped out, and they're going to put up, like, materials that are meant to be on a fireplace.
And then
where do we even start?
So stairwell, fireplace. This is a big job.
Yes, I'm getting light fixtures replaced to where they're going to look uniform through the house. They were like, let's do a small 60-watt one over there. Let's do a fader over here. Let's do one with an old copper fixture over here. Let's put in a fixture that's meant for chandeliers in a hallway. Nothing in the house makes sense. There's nothing uniform. So everything's getting replaced with power-saving LED everything. And then finally, the baby's bathroom, which always smells like someone just dug up a body. Because when they refixed and refinished that thing, they didn't put ventilation in there. There's no fan. There's nowhere for steam, poop, stink, rot, mildew to go. It just traps it in this small guest bathroom.
Heck, God.
To where if the walls steam up because of a steamy shower, the water's got nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. It makes the drywall.
Well, doesn't the shower smell, though?
The shower smells.
I think the pipes need to be vented. I think that's what they mean. Like, any kind of like drain pipe has to vent out the top of the house.
It's got to vent. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's got nowhere. So they're going to be drilling a hole in the roof of that thing running pipe that goes outside. So today is the day that all the work gets started. They're going to be ripping it apart, rebuilding it, and I'm happy to have them do it. Thank you, Cox. Thank you very, very much to the good folks over at BLC Construction. But...
yeah, 410-338-1098.
Worried what I'm
going
to
part find. Of you is what, right, worried. But, I mean, I own an older home. My home's over 100 years old.
Yeah, mine was built in 1980.
I think.
Yeah, mine was built in
1880,
pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a house like that, you start to open up walls, and then you see the way, like you said, things are done. You know, in 1950, Uncle Jimmy came over and did this. Then in 1970, your friend Billy came over and replaced that. And it's like, you start to see all of the work that was done that wasn't licensed.
There's just a slave corpse holding this wall up.
We renovated the bathroom, and we opened up one of the walls, and they had just closed in a door. Not a big deal, but it was just interesting to find. You know what I mean? Didn't really have any kind of implications, money-wise or structural-wise, but it was just like, oh, wow, there used to be a door there.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of cool, but...
You should check out this photo. Now, this isn't really apropos to what we're talking about, but still, Tom Schneider tweets him, love your pretzels, buddy. Hoverboard fire that scorched my home. Full renovation, took 8 months to get back in. Look at that. That's from a hoverboard fire.
Whoa.
I'll retweet that at JSS98Rock. How that wasn't a full and total loss is beyond me, buddy, but I'm glad you are set to go. Let's check this out real quick. Yes, Brandy, I get what you're saying about the Lemon House. Trust me, you're going to be buying a house soon. Other people are. It's the American dream. Buy, invest. You could retire on it if you pay it off in a reasonable amount of time. Get an inspector that knows what they're doing. And we'll answer every effing question that you ask them and have them go through it twice, okay?
Yeah, everyone's texting about inspector.
Yo, trust me. There's been stuff going on behind the scenes about the inspector. Let's go to who's been holding Dave in Baltimore. Dave, good morning.
Morning, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I got two for you. I renovated my house and in the basement. If you can try to imagine taking your index fingers and kind of hooking them to each other, when I tore the drywall, drop ceiling down, the electric from one fixture to another fixture was tied in like that. The guy just basically stripped the wire and then kind of did a loop-de-loop from one wire to another. Not like a wire nut or a junction box or anything like that, but literally a loop-de-loop inside of a drop ceiling.
No wires? Just not even a wire nut?
Just a raw wire connecting to another wire on top of a most likely flammable ceiling.
Oh, wow.
In a drop ceiling, a cardboard drop ceiling. Oh. I mean, it's amazing. So the other one was I demoed our bathrooms, our two bathrooms, and they share the bathtubs were against the same wall in opposite rooms. And when I tore that down, there was not one. It used to be the one room used to be the master bedroom, is now the master bathroom. Tearing down not one but two boxes in the wall that had hot wires that were, fortunately they were at least capped, but they were hot wires going into the wall. In between
tubs,
two bathtubs, not one but two.
Oh, you could have got electrocuted.
Dude, you could have.
My wife's just
somebody.
Trying to take a bubble bath.
Oh my God! Thank you for the call. I'm glad.
Yeah, you may want to sit down, Justin, and watch the Tom Hanks classic Money Pit.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm taking bins of cash and just launching it into a fire.
Refresh yourself.
Yeah,
what you're in store for?
Rent forever. Let's go to Carl in Baltimore. You are a home remodeler, bud.
Yeah. Yeah, we buy quite a bit of stuff from them hairy homeowners that like think they know what they're doing. I'm on a job now that I pulled they tiled the backsplash and I pulled the tile off to replace it, and I found six electrical outlet boxes that still had hot wires in them that were completely buried.
Oh,
that is highly illegal to cover a box like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got to be exposed. You got to be able to get to them, because if there's an electrical problem, you got to be able to pinpoint it. And if it's buried in the wall, you got to rip it all out. Whoa. I had another job that we fixed a leak in the pipe and closed the wall back up. Next day, they said it's leaking. We go in and fix that when it was a different location. We ended up having to tear out all the drywall on the wall and replace all the plumbing, because every time we fixed the leak, it would start leaking somewhere else.
Oh my God!
Dude. Yeah, these hairy homeowners.
Plumbing and electrical like make me sick to my stomach when I think about it. All the things that could just go wrong. And it's all
water.
It's all in the walls, and you got to rip open the whole. You know.
Do we need to get back to the sprinkler system that I found out that I had that they drywalled over the shutoff valve that I had to take a hammer and bust holes in the drywall looking for that off switch so I can turn it off because my yard was flooding? Because the same sprinkler system that he installed himself, he decided to bury 2 feet too deep and just flooded the lawn when I decided to turn it on. Brian Wells says, your fixtures are probably all vented. The code is that each bathroom must have an exhaust fan or a window. If the fixtures weren't vented, nothing would drain. You're probably good there. You got to see this thing, Brian. It's if I take a shower in that room on a Monday, the walls are wet on a Thursday still. It's got nowhere to go. The whole damn thing's trapped. Yeah, it's gross. Let's go to Jim in Baltimore. Jim, good morning. Horrify me.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
So my wife and I just bought a house, and we unfortunately fell for the advertising of beautifully renovated, recently updated, all that nonsense. Turns out the work was done by a construction company and a remodeling company in Virginia. And much like some of the stuff you're talking about, I mean, this is a professional company, not just a DIYer.
Right.
They drywalled over the emergency gas shutoff valve.
What? Oh, no way, no.
That's not good at all.
Hold on. Stay with me here. We bought a new washer and dryer and went over to the house, hooked it up, tried to run a small load of laundry, find out that the hot and cold supply lines that they had the little box for wasn't actually connected to plumbing.
There was no water running to the washing machine.
No. All they put were the hot and cold valves in the drywall, but didn't connect any.
There's no piping.
To it.
What?
There's no piping in there. Oh God, buddy. Thank you.
Oh my God.
This hellish existence. It's the act of buying and owning a home while. I guess in the long run, if you live there long enough, it's a sound financial investment. It's just you pull your hair out by the handful.
Yeah, we're getting a ton of texts.
I get freaked out if I botch a Pop-Tart, much less figuring out where shutoff valves are, electrical work, plumbing. I've already had pipes explode. Mike, rent forever.
We are now actively looking for a house, and it's so exhausting because, like you said, you look at all these houses and you're like, oh man, look at this place. It looks so good online, and then when you get there, you can tell it was a flip job and everything was done hinky, and you're like, I don't want all these headaches. But then when you look for a house that like looks like it has no headaches, it just cost $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, I can't afford this.
I can't afford the brand new, perfectly done by code construction. Oh, I haven't told you about the floors recently. Upstairs, hardwood everywhere. Scratches way too easy. And I've even got the pads on the underside of all my chairs. And one of the guys that looked at it that's coming over.
Laminate?
From BLC Construction, Cox Roofing, shout out. They looked at it and go, that's you don't use that for flooring at all. You use that for like foyers or like a step. I've actually never seen this much of this material used to cover an entire floor. It's not meant for that. Yeah, so I have an entire hardwood floor. That's not actually a hardwood floor. It's just...
Well, good luck.
I'm moving in when you might.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Yeah, Mike and I tried to do something that we thought we were far more capable of doing on Thursday this week, and that was lift a dead body. Now, we didn't have a dead body available, but Josh did a story. I can't remember, Josh, what got us into lifting up a dead body? Was it the woman or the husband in the freezer thing?
Oh, yes. A guy kept his dead wife in a freezer in their condo in Florida for 7 or 8 years just to collect her Social Security.
Wow. And we thought to ourselves, boy, if you break down the numbers, he got paid like $90,000+ over the course of those years. It's like $11,000 per year. Not enough to keep a body in a freezer. I need at least $100K to keep a corpse on site. So he said, why not just move the damn thing? And then we realized it's hard to move a body. And, well, Mike and I took turns trying to lift each other. I genuinely thought I could fireman carry you, Mike. Very Forrest Gump,
right,
carrying his troops out of the jungle that he got the award for. And if any of you need help near me, you're dead because I can't carry you any more than 4 feet.
I mean, maybe the rigor mortis might help. I think it would to carry somebody. But yeah, a limp body that's wet noodles on you, that's tough.
And I laid down in a very like a non-traditional position and you did the same. You kind of laid on your side and... I knew I had to lift you up by your shoulders, but I tried first. Like, let me do the thing where I swing an arm over my neck and see if I can kind of hook behind your leg. And it definitely looks like I'm grabbing your ass. And tried to kind of just power up, and no dice. No way I was getting that thing up there.
Here's the thing about me is I'm literally like the weakest person like on earth. Like as I like Stella gets bigger and I have to like lift things like in and out of cars and stuff. Like I realize that I don't have any muscle. I need to like, I really need to do steroids. I really need steroids and I just need to like bulk up and get like muscles.
Well, even worse than the strength as you get older is I'm constantly worried that something's going to tear. Anytime I exert any kind of like real force.
I'm worried something's going to go out. And basically my back or my knee. Like Evan is getting to be this fat little meatball. He's like a boulder and he kicks. So when I got to lift down and he's like hidden behind a sofa or he's entangled in one of his play sets and I got to go and lift him up, man, I make a noise like a whenever I lift him that I'm waiting. A year from now, my back's going to give out.
I told you that Stella's grandparents bought her one of those power wheels and I getting it in and out of the house because we can't keep it outside, so we got to bring it in and out of the house, and I got to carry it out the front door and down the steps, and I picked the thing up. I blew my back out, my lower back. It was, God, there it goes.
God, the sounds you make when you get older. Just getting up, I don't think I've gotten up or into a chair silently in the past 3 years. Like, oh, it's time for the meeting? Yep. Oh, it's time to sit down? Oh, yeah. I don't know why I have to have a soundtrack to getting up and getting out, but hear it now. We tried carrying corpses. Mike and I made an attempt. One of us did better than the other. On Behind the Curtain.
Finally, from Florida, Alan Dunn's wife, Margaret, died in 2002. Unfortunately, no one knew about it until he himself died in 2010, and his wife's body was discovered in the freezer. In the condo they shared.
Oh, no.
That's right.
No. He didn't tell anyone.
Alan hid his wife's corpse in the freezer from 2002 to 2010 so he could continue to collect her Social Security benefits to the tune of $92,000 over 8 years.
Great idea.
When he died in 2010, the jig was up, and police learned of the scam. Prosecutors say that his heirs agreed to waive their rights to inherit the condo and will instead put it up for sale to clear Alan's debt. It's unclear how much the condo sold for, but after paying the back taxes, sales costs, and condo association fees, the remaining sales proceeds of about $16,000 were forfeited to the feds.
That but while he was alive, he got away with it.
He got away.
Dude, 92 grand.
He got away with it. That's it. He wins.
Yeah, he won.
He won.
I mean, now his family's got to clean up the mess, which sucks.
Yeah,
way to go,
I mean,
Dad.
Same thing with us. I mean, you and I are going to leave a nightmarish, apocalyptic, toxic waste hellscape for our children kids to clean up. Hey, ain't my problem.
Damn, 8 years. Didn't anybody ask? Hey, where's...
No one liked Margaret Dunn.
Yeah, apparently nobody. Yeah. Nobody cared.
Margaret Dunn, that woman. For that long in a freezer. Wow. Now, if you do the math real quick, it was for 8 years, correct? So $92,000 divided by 8 years. So he's pulling in about $11,000 a year. I'm not sure if it's worth having a body in my basement in a freezer for $11,000 a year.
So you're telling me that if, hey, you keep this body in your freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody finds out, you'll get $11,000.
Oh, you got to tack a zero onto that thing.
Is
that's
that
the same
it?
Freezer I use my...
Well, it's all relative, you know.
I mean, we're saying for us. For me...
Oh, for you, okay.
Yeah, depending on how hard up I am, I might take $11,000.
Josh will do it on the house. I'll pay you $11,000.
I'm not sure I could even move a dead human body.
Couldn't even touch it?
Yeah, especially once rigor mortis set in. Just scoop my arms underneath and try to lift it up.
It'd have to be fresh.
It's just like a doll.
Really?
Oh, man. Yeah, if anybody ever kicks off in here, Josh will scoop him up real quick. I've got this. Here we go.
Yeah.
BRB.
You gotta grab him right around here and lift the legs.
Yeah, come on. Don't bend your back. Bend your legs. Whoa, Josh is really good at this. He just scooped that right up.
Now, you might not know the human body's obviously a little bit top heavy.
I got it.
Torso up.
There we go.
Your head weighs about 8 pounds. You got all the Morgans in there. You want to lift from up here?
You want to swing them over your shoulders so their body bends at the hips, and the legs are in front, the torso's behind you, like you're carrying a big sack of sand.
And it's just a nice big deep squat.
It's like, it's like a weekend at Bernie's. Mike is dead, and I'm walking out here with Mike's arm around my neck. He's wearing sunglasses. We're walking. People are trying to talk to Mike, and he's not answering. I'm trying to think of excuses.
You're trying to bounce his body and do ventriloquism.
That's definitely going to happen.
That was Mike. That was Mike talking just now.
I'm not sure how we got to here.
Not me doing corpse ventriloquism.
Ah, goodness. I'm going to keep Mike in my basement.
Oh, you couldn't even move the dead deer in your front yard.
It's a deer. It wasn't a person. All right, he doesn't have deer shackled in his basement.
I'm not buying it.
No.
Yet.
Is this a challenge?
That and the upper body strength.
You testing me?
Are you seeing his calves? I want to see you pick up a 200-pound bag of potatoes.
Have you ever wondered why his legs have gotten to be so effing muscular? Okay? He's not lifting.
You know what? I'm coming over right now. I'm going to lay on the floor. No. I want you to pick me up and carry me back to the
producer. No, I can't do that.
It doesn't work if your heart's still beating.
Here I come.
No. If your heart's still beating, it doesn't count.
I'd have to drain your blood first.
Yeah.
How much does blood weigh?
I don't know. You should.
I can't pick you up.
You should head into your grease trap and just measure it all. Mike, you want to try and lift me? You want to dead body me? You think you could? You think you could hoist me in the air?
All right, yeah, we'll try it.
You want to try it?
Don't hurt yourself. You're a week out from a competition here.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself. All right, I'm gonna go limp.
Yeah, dude, 180 pounds of limp human is. There's no way. Look at this. All right, he's trying to get him around the shoulders. Oh, he's got him up. Justin's totally limp. Yeah, fireman carry. That's like the fireman. And that's it. You got to drag him. There you go. Oh, look. Look. Oh, Justin's so limp. So he's got him around up under the shoulders, and he's basically doing the fireman carry drag thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Don't ever kill anybody.
God, look at Mike. He's ripped. Oh, look at Mike's traps.
Yeah.
Oh, Justin is so. You play a good dead person. Very limp. Very limp. Yeah, made it about 10 feet. Made it about 10 feet. You got to imagine, though, this old guy's wife. This old guy's wife probably weighed 100 pounds or something. She's probably a small woman. We can't hear anything.
Well, now they've switched positions.
Yeah, now Justin is going to try. No way, dude. Uh-uh. No way. All right, get back over here.
I got to get him up.
Tickles. You're going to hurt your back.
Forever on fire, you're dead.
That's enough. That's enough.
I can't. Forever on fire, we're dead. Oh my God, you weigh so much.
No, you made it 4 feet.
Oh, I can't.
Get back over. Yeah, it's impossible to move a dead body. You need help. But moral of the story is, if you're moving a dead body, you need two guys.
You need Josh.
Woo!
What if you took some sort of like a cocaine?
I'm not giving up. Like a popper, something like that.
Yeah, coil.
Oh man, like, you're dense, man. You're like a pug.
I guess this is why they chop bodies up.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? That's why. Whew. They're not doing it because they're morbid. They're doing it because they're trying to make the move easier.
Like Josh said, you get the blood out of there. That's probably 30 pounds, 40 pounds.
Like, how much does a skeleton weigh?
Maybe more.
Maybe.
They're what, 70% water?
Dude, you have any idea how many of my hero scenarios just died just now?
I know.
How many of my hero scenarios that I had imagined, like, don't you worry. Don't you worry. I'm getting us out of here. Not on my watch, Scott. You're going to see Stella get married. I promise you, you're going to see Stella get married. I can't lift you, man. I'm trying. I can't do it. You're going to have to watch your wedding from heaven.
Imagine, like, going up steps or something.
No.
You're like in a basement. You got to get bodies out of there.
I made it 4 feet on a carpeted floor.
Yeah, but it's like that thing where the mom is able to lift the car off of her child. I think that kicks in.
Oh, yeah. The whole like mom strength. Oh, I've got this.
Like that.
Yeah.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
What a treat. What a treat. Someone that we didn't know how they'd react to, him being blasphemed against, spoken ill of. George Shea, Major League Eating, the guy who announces, raps, and organizes the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, joined us this week a day after Mike Anderson took him to task on the air for being a bit of an attention whore, and he was great.
Great! Dude was great. I mean, here we are a couple of days removed, Mike, from you. A, it was 4th of July, so you watched the thing. You couldn't came in. You couldn't shut up about how awful this guy was and how awful the thing was. Then we talked to the guy. He's absolutely fantastic. I mean, don't you feel like a jackass?
A little bit, but if he could only be as fantastic on the hot dog eating contest,
yeah. But
as
he explained
here,
it. He explained it like 10 times.
Dude,
to you
gotta watch it. You have to watch what I'm talking about.
You know, okay. And Mike, I feel bad because I kind of left you swinging in the wind there. But if you want to get behind the curtain off the air, I agreed with Mike in some of his presentation. There would be what was the one shot that there was? It was not Chestnut, but it was one of the other guys talking to Chestnut, and I mean, out of frame. George just slides in, like during an interview, he's like, hey, he just slides in the middle of both of them and takes over the camera shot. I mean, you'll hear him say it. He owns it, that he's an attention whore. But there are moments in that Nathan's presentation where he does dance in front of the camera a bit when someone else are doing like other things.
Yeah, if it were just a smaller dose, it would have been fine. It's just 45 minutes of this guy just trying to entertain a crowd was just hard to watch. Like I said, in you know, previous.
Didn't he explain that though? He said that it was live and some stuff went wrong.
He had some tech issues. He had his IFB, his inner earpiece go down. There's been times on the show where he got a fluff.
And they didn't replay the women's eating contest. So he was maybe.
But even that would have only filled another.
God, you just 10 minutes. Never come off anything. You never do.
I said, look, I'm standing by it.
Just never. Have you ever just been like, you know what? Yeah, I was 100% wrong. Guy's a nice guy.
Nah, because I wasn't. That broadcast was terrible.
The Anderson stance.
I still stand by that broadcast being damn near unwatchable.
It's his hill to die on.
It could be better. It could definitely be improved. Watch it next year and tell me I'm not wrong. Hopefully he implements my plan that I'll bring up of doing an undercard.
I'm sure he'll make adjustments.
We didn't pull any punches, man. We went straight at the dude. We even played the audio of Mike destroying him, and the guy took it like a champ.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
He took it like a champ. He kind of spun it and owned it and kept moving. Because so you know why? You don't matter to him, Mike. Guy's a millionaire.
Is he?
I don't know.
He's got to be a 100,000-aire. Here he is. He is George Shea from the Major League Eating Nathan's Hot Dog Competition, answering Mike's claims of being an attention whore, and he was great. Give it a listen on Behind the Curtain.
4th of July, down there in Coney Island. It is a tradition like none other. Joey Chestnut capturing his 10th mustard belt. Eating a record 72 hot dogs, part of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. True American hero.
Calories, 20,160. 1,300 grams of fat, 56,000 milligrams of sodium, and 720 grams of muscle-building protein.
Dare I say, America's greatest athlete,
quite
Joey
possibly.
Chestnut.
Quite possibly.
And your MC, your master of ceremonies, of course, as always that day. Joining us on the phone now, George Shea. Good morning, George.
Good morning, George.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Not only the MC of the hot dog eating contest, but one of the founding brothers of Major League Eating. Is that correct?
Yes. And Major League Eating, the world body that governs all stomach-centric sports. We have about 55 events, you know, throughout the nation.
The horsemen of the esophagus, you and your brother Richard. Put this on, you make it a huge spectacle every year. Joey Chestnut, with, like Scott said, with a record 10th all-time eating contest. And before we continue, does the hat that you wear have a name? Outside of just being a straw hat, is there a particular name for that style of hat?
Well, you know, it's funny. They call it a skimmer or a boater.
Boater, yes. We got some text about that. Yeah. A boater hat. Those are such a great hat. Such a great look. You do such a great job. You turn the whole event into a giant spectacle, which is what it is. I mean, we're down at Coney Island on 4th of July eating hot dogs. But, you know, what's more spectacle than that? But the man... Go ahead, George.
No, I was just going to say, it's you get 30,000 people, right, and... You know, it is a festival. The Coney Island Brewery has a beer tent. They're giving away things. People are throwing balls in there. It really is. But they come to see Joey, right? They come to see and now Carmen Sincotti, this newcomer.
The gentleman that scheduled this with you and the man that called you and put you on hold is our producer, Mike Anderson. And he came in ranting and raving yesterday on the air. He sat down and watched the hot dog eating contest. Is it on ESPN? It was on ESPN, right?
Yeah.
Which is great. Look at you guys. You're on ESPN. I mean,
millions of viewers, thousands in attendance. And
you and your brother have done an unbelievable job. And our producer, Mike, didn't have a kind word to say about you or the contest. I don't know what it was. He couldn't stand you. And I don't mean to like blindside. Because, look, George, we're all on board. We get it. Our producer, Mike, can be hypercritical, and he was had some not so nice. Mike, why don't you go ahead and defend yourself?
Well, first off, George, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, okay. Don't backpedal now.
Here we go. Get him a breath.
You know, I was being a little hyperbolic yesterday in my criticisms, but I just thought, and this was a thought I had yesterday as I criticized the broadcast, I just thought that maybe what this thing needed was an undercard of other eating events to fill that time. Between, you know, noon and the actual start of the eating competition, the hot dog eating competition.
Because one of Mike's complaints that he said is that he thought, because the hot dog eating contest itself is amazing, but he's dying to get to it. There's too much buildup versus actual competition, so he thought maybe like meatballs, clams, oysters, tacos, whatever.
Have you ever thought about an undercard?
Well, you know, we have and we do, and I wouldn't position it as an undercard, but the ladies, we have the ladies event, and I think what happened this year, typically that is a featured portion of the pre-contest, but I think that it's a live show, as you can imagine.
Right.
And everybody loads in the night before, and I think what happened is there were some bumps and bruises, and they weren't able to bring a recap or to do the ladies contest, because the ladies contest happens at 11.
Uh-huh.
And then the broadcast starts at noon. So typically they grab that,
right,
cut it up, and do kind of an undercard thing, although it's not fair to the ladies to say undercard. But right. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. You know, I've been running this, you know, since 1988.
Yeah.
And when it was a tiny contest with just a fold-out table, you know. So tell me what else. Like, on the broadcast itself,
don't listen. First of all, George Shang, you don't have to listen to our producer, Mike. He's an a-hole. And I apologize.
Oh, whoa.
No, and it makes me sick to my stomach. Pardon the pun with the hot dog and the eating contest. But it does make me sick to my stomach that he sits there on his couch on the 4th of July. And you just heard George say he took this from a folding table hot dog eating contest to now a global sensation. Him and his brother Richard. And who the hell are you without
with
a hair on your ass?
Smoking hot Mickey Sudo.
To take him to task on that. It's just ridiculous.
I'm a nobody.
I don't want to quote you, but I believe you called George an attention whore yesterday.
Oh, again, I was being a little hyperbolic. We do
George,
a show.
George, it's, I mean,
well,
I don't
let me,
think,
let me just jump in there. Let me
retort,
just jump in there.
George, retort,
hold
please.
On one sec. Let me jump in.
I'm actually very angry.
He's 100% right there. Yeah. I mean, I'm not backing down on that. There is one star of the show, and it is I.
Yeah!
Get some!
That's what I'm talking about. That's how you took it from a folding table to global. Absolutely.
The biggest period in wrestling history, Mr. George Shea, was not because of Stone Cold Steve Austin
Vince
and The
McMahon.
Rock. Vince McMahon.
Yes!
The evil boss, the overlord,
you
the power structure. Have you,
know
you modeled
doing?
Anything
yeah, you
that
know,
you do after that, man? Because I see you, and I see Vinnie Mac, and I see a lot of parallels.
Well, let me just tell you this. The one sad parallel that does not exist is the money. He made billions of dollars.
Okay,
I know.
But
I
you
know
what? If you take a look at professional wrestling today, which I have never watched professional wrestling until this past 3 months, because a good, very close you know, family person is now involved in wrestling. So I've watched it. You know who my favorite character is? Paul Heyman.
Oh, yeah. The advocate, yeah. Right? The advocate for Brock Lesnar.
He's dynamite. Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, and I had never seen him before, but that's what I'm doing is much more like that. But I will tell you, my job is to channel the greatness of Joey Chestnut, and if it requires a few extra minutes of airtime from me, so
hell
be
yeah,
it.
Dude. Talking to George Shea, him and his brother Richard, co-founders of Major League Eating, they put on the famous Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest down there in Coney Island, along with about 50 others all around the... Is it around the country, around the globe? Where how far do you guys go?
Yeah, we're doing... Saturday, we do the Major League Baseball All-Star Break, and then we're doing a big Hooters event in Las Vegas on Monday.
You hear that, Mike? Major League Baseball All-Star Break. You hear that, Mike?
Well,
guy knows
watching.
What he's doing. Now, no, but was Mike's assessment maybe a little bit correct? Because, like you said... Normally, you would have had the ladies on there. So did you have to find yourself maybe scrambling and vamping a little bit more this past 4th of July than you would have in the past?
Well, you know, yeah, I would absolutely, you know, look, I'll give you the unvarnished look on the inside. It's a live show in Coney Island. Those trucks load in the night before. We load that stage in the night before, right?
Yeah.
And it just goes, right? It's a live show. And so things move and change. And, you know, my focus is really the live show on the stage, which goes on for 2 hours. So you don't see that. But, you know, things shift and stuff like that. But, you know, what most people like is that 10 minutes of the contest. Okay. Usually we have about 4 or 5 minutes of the ladies' contest, and that sort of breaks it up. But you could argue, look, I don't want to see packages. I only want to see eating. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would argue that. There's an element to it where, you know, the right amount is what you want, and you don't want 60 minutes or 45 minutes, whatever it would be, of pure eating. You know what I'm saying? So you could argue it. You could argue it.
Now, would you like to hear yesterday, straight from the horse's mouth, we have audio of some of super producer Mike Anderson's criticisms, and we encourage you, George, to respond, because I think the work you've done and the product you put out speaks for itself.
And but just talking to him the last 5 minutes, I love you. I love George.
I love George. I love Shea. George. Shea. I'm a fan of George Shea. Shea Communications.
This is out of context. You know, within context, it all makes sense. But go ahead, Justin.
I'll go ahead and play this, and I'll go ahead and it's about 45 seconds long. And George, at the end, we will get your retorts. Here we go.
Yeah, the hot dog eating contest is on. I got to make sure I set my alarm for that. I got to watch that at noon tomorrow. That's going to be great. And then 20 minutes in, I'm like, what the F was I thinking?
Hey.
I mean, it's an hour-long broadcast.
Okay.
And they spend 45 minutes
hype
with filler. You handle it like you know would a normal sports broadcast, but there's really nothing to talk about because at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of idiots eating food.
Hey.
How busy makes it all about him?
Who, Joey Chestnut?
No, George makes it all about George.
Well, that's a job there, man.
It should be about the competitors, about Joe.
Why? Why should it be about
Because
them?
That's what we're
Who
watching.
Who cares?
It's an eating competition. He's so weird, too.
Yeah, well,
like, he's dancing around up there.
Yeah.
A producer at one point had to grab and be like, hey, go, we're live. Quit dancing around like a teenage girl at a homecoming.
George.
Really?
George Shea. Respond. Respond to this ne'er-do-well.
Well, you know, it, as I said, it is all about me. You know, it's Joey Chestnut's an American hero, but only second to me. But, you know, when this started, there was no Joey Chestnut.
Hell yeah.
There was no Matt Stone. And many times when you're out on the road, there's no Joey, there's no Matt, there's no nobody. So you're basically doing a show. And I don't appreciate the comment on the dancing, because my dancing is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yes it is. Yes it is. Feet of fire.
Real cool dancing. The issue was the IFB wasn't working.
See, Mike, apologize.
The IFB wasn't working. No. The IFB wasn't working. ESPN was 2 minutes late going into the eating, but it's all
the IFB. For those that don't know, IFB is that inner earpiece that you have a producer somewhere that the viewer can't see, feeding you instructions or letting you know, hey, we're going back to you live. Hey, real quick, be sure to mention this sponsor. And if that's not working, you're essentially flying blind. You're flying a plane without a radar, without any tower. And George, it's been described before, like getting back to wrestling, that if it was a song, the performers play the music, but the announcers write the lyrics. And that's what you do here. Joey Chestnut, Mickey Sudo and company, they all write the music, but you provide the lyrics to that event.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that, and I think it's true with any sport or production, the actual music is critically important to the emotion, right? So typically at that event, we use commercial music because ESPN wouldn't take the feed from our music guy. They would take ambient music, so it was okay. This year, they said, you know what, let's just be careful. We'll use all, non-commercial music.
Right,
so
generic.
I had to go out and get music, and I have to tell you that it was a major, major effort. It's so hard. I mean, you guys, you know, play great music, and the emotion that comes from that married to the event is so important, and that's another thing. You know, when you look at the audio of ESPN, on one of the shows, you couldn't even hear the songs going into it. But then, you know, it's a live show. I don't know if you guys do a lot of that, but
Yes, we know, George. It's very tough. George Shea, Major League Eating, thank you for joining us.
Yes,
Mike,
thank you.
Officially apologize.
I apologize, and again, I must reiterate my idea of having an undercard, making it all American foods like apple pie, buffalo wings, you know, just typical barbecue fare.
And then,
you can bring in other sponsors, George, and sell them to them.
Moving in on Nathan's action. I don't know about that.
Just an idea.
George, thank you so much, man.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Have a great day.
You do the same. There he goes. George Shea.
Great dude.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So Tony Perticakis, the IFBB, International Federation of Bodybuilders Pro, who's training Mike for, God, 1 week from today. Next weekend, next Saturday, he's got a bodybuilding competition. You'll hear in a second, joined us. And you notice this, Scott, astutely, that Mike kind of changes his demeanor whenever she's around.
It was really weird. She complimented him a couple of times, and he was like, she's like, oh, you got great, I think it was lats.
Lats? He's got great lats.
You got a great back. And he's like, huh? What? Are you being serious? And she's like, yes, Mike, I'm paying you a compliment. And she's like, oh my God, like, wow, I never, it's like, it just makes me wonder, like, what the nature of their relationship is.
Well, she's got a new beau that she's Instagramming the hell out of and using 1,000 hashtags. And she's never looked happier. And if she's happy, I'm happy. But I think it might be indicative of her training regimen with Mike that she just beats his ass into the dirt so badly that he genuinely thought he misheard her. She's so stringent with the compliments. The positive reinforcement is so non-existent that when she did pay him a compliment about his back, he's what? Were you not used to hearing compliments from Tony, Mike?
Yeah, what was that about?
Yeah, it was weird.
You shut down.
Because I initially thought she was joking because she never compliments me, which I'm fine with because you got to keep she's my coach, and you got to keep, your student motivated and continually trying to, you don't want to get complacent, I guess is what I'm saying. You don't want them to get complacent and think that they can slack off because inevitably you kind of will if someone keeps praising you. You think, well, I guess I look great, so maybe I'll just do three sets instead of four this time. So, yeah, I mean, she uses it as a motivating factor, but yeah, I just never hear it. So I was like, is she kidding? I think she's joking. She's messing with me, right?
Well, hear about it now. IFBB Pro Tony Perticakis came in. Mike took his shirt off. She complimented him. He didn't believe it. And we are 1 week away from his bodybuilding competition.
Anderson, 10 days away from competing.
Baltimore Convention Center,
is that correct?
Right. It's the Baltimore Grand Prix and Fitness Expo, and I'll be competing in the MPC Hercules Classic.
Don't sound so excited, Mike. Jesus.
MPC Hercules Classic.
No, I am. It's a serious event. This is a cop.
Why do I got to look over at Tony and shake my head when I say, Mike, 10 days? Yeah, it's the
Hercules Conan Classic Bicep Spectacle.
I mean, if I were to play back the way you just sounded.
No, I'm excited, but the tone was consternation because we're getting close and the nerves are, I'm getting excited too, but anxious at the same time.
What time is all this happening? Because I got a concert. Is it a Friday or Saturday? It's a Saturday, right?
Saturday, pre-judging at noon and then finals at 6. But finals will be what you probably want to see, right, Tony?
I actually like pre-judging better.
Oh.
Because that's when they move you around and we'll have an idea of how you're doing. Can you fix your hair?
Whoa, get that hand.
It's like parted down the middle and like, I think that's what's wrong with your personality today. There
Joined
you go.
In studio by IFBB Pro, Tony's trainer. Is that accurate?
Coach.
Coach?
I'm life
coach.
Mentor and mentor? Life coach right now.
Tony Perticakis in studio, and you've been training yourself, haven't you?
Kinda.
Yeah, you getting back into it?
Yeah.
Been training that ass.
Hell yeah. Looks good.
Girl, I'm on that Instagram.
She actually went jogging. I was walking the dog.
Damn.
Was it Monday morning? And Moose tried to attack her.
Whoa. Moose tried to attack her?
Yeah. Well, he didn't try to.
God, that dog's dumb.
She just said Moose tried to bite me.
He didn't try to bite. He lunged and barked. He's never bitten anything.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was she ran towards him. like she was running up here, and he kind of got spooked. I should have held him.
She was attacking you. He was defending you, Mike.
Tony, probably. Don't charge him.
Yeah, he's probably
fears
for my life. But I saw Tony out jogging just the other day. So
man, I want to see that.
Is that weird that Mike? Give me a date. I swear to God, here's the area where you live.
I swear to God, here's my first thought. Like, because I could only see there was a tree obstructing her upper body, and I saw the legs, and I'm like, oh my God, those are tree trunks.
Damn.
And then I was like, is that Tony? Like, oh my God, that's Tony.
You
coming
go out
up
jogging
here.
Often?
I mean, I try.
How far do you jog?
It depends when I'm heavier, like 3 miles, but like right about now, like five to six miles.
Go ahead.
Yeah, girl.
And you must get a lot of attention. How many car honks? How many merps?
I get a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I give them the finger.
No. Come on. It's a compliment. We've had this discussion.
I get text messages being like, I saw you jogging and I was honking. And I was like, I'm sorry.
And when you run, too, you got to strap them yum-yums down. There's no way that you're going to let those things just flail around. You're gonna black out.
Wait, which yum-yums?
Those yum-yums up top. The butt, you can do nothing about that.
Yeah.
That's just, unfortunately.
I mean, it's just going all over
it's
the
just
place.
Flying
sometimes
around.
I lose my balance. Just
you're knocking
like,
over trash cans. The thing's swinging into mailboxes. Yeah. Kids are getting concussions. But up top, you got to just sports bra those things in place.
All right.
Yeah. Sometimes I use duct tape.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Mike. We're 10 days out. What is happening now, Tony? His diet has been adjusted probably, a week ago, week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago? It really wrenched down.
Yes. But so I told him today that I wanted him to take off his shirt and I wanted to see him sort of like in person and then we'd make some final changes.
So is this a radio bit or would you normally do this? This would be him.
I was going to train him, I think, on Friday. So I was going to see that.
See it on Friday?
Yeah.
So
but
we
would have
had today's Wednesday. So we would have had another couple of days, but yeah. We'll do it today. Just.
Because we noticed earlier, his back is starting to get more pronounced.
Yeah.
Mike, you're losing weight, but like you're losing good weight. You're starting to tone up, tighten up, and his back is popping out of his shirt.
Yeah, the last
he has
couple...
a really good back.
Are you
I gave you a compliment.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you. Well, the problem with my back is my lats suck. And obviously, that's probably my biggest weak point.
They really don't.
You don't think
it's
so?
It's like your traps, you like bring your traps up into your ears all the time. Just relax.
Yeah. So we're working on the back pose right now is another weakness I've been trying to work on because I'm just, for whatever reason, I can't pop my lats that well. And it just, and like she said, I'm overly.
Can't pop my lats that well.
I'm overly contracting my traps and I look like a hunchback.
It's really in your head. Can you give yourself a compliment, buddy?
I will.
This journey has been so difficult for him.
I'd like you to give me a compliment after you're done with yourself.
Have we also noticed this before that Mike's leg hair just stops at a certain point? It stops like right where the sock goes. Do you notice that?
Your
leg hair.
From? It's from when I'm like laying down. I like when you cross your legs, it rubs. I
your
think
your leg just decided to stop growing hair halfway down. Oh, that's weird. You've told me
that's
you're
another
there,
great question. He said he's going to be tanning, right? And then does he also have to shave the entire body?
Everything.
Hell yeah.
Well, he doesn't have a lot of hair to begin with.
He also doesn't need to be in a banana hammock, so he really only needs to just do
his
legs.
He's in board
legs.
Shorts or whatever, kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
And his chest and his back. I don't think...
He
doesn't
have a lot of
back?
Hair. No. I mean, there's some like errant nipple hairs and a little bit of a happy trail, but...
Overcoming a disease recently amount of hair.
I know. I've got no arm hair. It's just my legs. My legs look like gorilla legs and
no,
then everything else.
Not even that bad.
Yeah, they're not terrible.
How's that bush? How's that big old bush?
I could probably use some tending too.
I shaved mine the other day. It looks good.
Maybe you should get waxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you brought that up before. Maybe I will.
You and Tony should go in for a couple's waxing and bleaching session.
I can't imagine. Do you get your armpits waxed? How bad is that?
I get laser, so I don't do... I would imagine that it hurts because that's very sensitive skin.
You laser the kitten?
Yep.
Oh, really?
Good yep.
For you.
Oh, boy. Time to learn how to be a technician.
I just felt some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tony, do your thing with Mike. Tell him what to do. Take your shirt off.
I'm going to come over there because there's only one live wire camera on right now.
Okay.
There we go.
Do I keep these on?
Yeah, keep those on for now. I'll turn up Mike 5
and
also,
you
Michael.
You got to stay close to the microphone. Just Mike, stand right here, right next to her. Keep her close.
All right, taking the shirt off.
Take your out while you're at it. All right, whoa, there we go.
Oh, God.
Look at that guy.
He's so smooth.
God, he is. He's like an Amish child. Look at you. Whoa.
Okay, that's not what you're going to do on stage.
Man, look at him.
God, those pecs look good, dude.
Dude, your
holy
pecs
hell.
Look good.
Pecs look great.
Oh, my God. I want to breastfeed from you.
Come out, and you got to show personality.
Okay, show us some personality.
Wait, so what is he doing now?
He's showing personality. He's waving to the crowd. He's waving to the crowd. Hey, guys. Hey.
Can you just hit your front pose?
Ooh. Mike, that looks good, bud.
Now, turn around.
Back pose.
Okay.
All right, Tony, you got to speak. We're on the radio. What are you seeing? What are you liking? What are you not liking?
Hit your front pose again.
By her silence, I'm assuming she's not liking a lot.
No, she's not liking it so far. Yeah, there you go. Well, suck that in. She's placing her hand on his stomach.
Oh, yeah. So only the people that are
come
on,
over
like,
the microphone.
On the live can see this. Okay. Everybody get on the live so you can see me.
Get on the live.
Yeah, but they got to hear you, too.
There you go. All right,
she's pushing his stomach in.
Oh, that was
there
so
you go.
Hot.
That made
blow
a difference.
Out. Go. Blow out. Mm. Why is this arm all the way up there? There you go.
There you go.
Yell at him.
Out.
Yell at him.
Blow out.
Call him
there
a bitch.
Go. Now, can you smile? Can you look at me?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Maniac. Don't move. Don't
now,
move.
Now, turn around.
I want to send this to my girlfriend so she can masturbate to it.
Okay, stop pinching.
Oil on.
Yeah, I was going to say the pinch in the middle.
There we go.
I don't know anything about anything, but he
and,
definitely.
So, do me a favor. Put your hands in front of you.
There we go.
There you go. And kind of just bring it back a little bit without pinching.
There we go.
I'm just looking at Tony's ass the whole time. I'm not even looking at Mike. Tony, get your ass out of here. He's wiggling her butt.
Not watching.
All right, so Mike, what do you think, Justin?
No, I mean, so far,
yeah, where's your glutes, dude?
Yeah,
right, Tony, come back over to the microphone.
Okay.
Yeah, you
explain
got a North
to us
Korean
what's happening.
Ass.
He's not. How does he learn that? I guess it's just kind of muscle memory. He needs to feel like the position and just remember what it feels like, obviously.
Yeah, and posing's really difficult.
Yeah, when he first came out, I'm like, okay, he's posing. And then you went ahead and fixed six things. And I'm like, okay, I didn't realize there were six things to fix.
Right. So posing is really, and you, the thing about being on stage is they keep you in that pose.
For
and
how you can't long? Be, how long does he got to hold that for?
I've stayed in a pose for an entire minute.
Oh wow.
God.
You have
damn,
to just
kid.
Learn how to breathe. But like,
and you're completely like you're flexing as hard as you can for a minute.
Well, yeah, because you're up against other people that like they're
wow.
doing the same exact thing.
Yeah. So where's he at?
So yeah, we have essentially 1 week.
10 days.
Left.
One,
yeah, week
one
week
and a half. 1 week.
He looks good. He looks,
I think he does. I think he looks great.
He
I mean, he's tightening
good.
Up. His ugh. Pecs look awesome.
Pecs look
I'll
great.
I'll tell you, I was watching.
Penis looking good.
I was watching a video from like probably the first time that I came on here, and I was looking at his face, and I was like, "Whoa!"
Damn shame we can't do anything about that in the gym.
He was so his face yeah. was like double what it
swollen.
Is right now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm down. I weighed in over the weekend at a record low of 172, and when we started, I was damn near 200.
Wow. So yeah, nice. You've come many, many, many moons away from the time that you were chugging queso at 6 in the morning.
So,
what? Why does he have no ass? I mean, we're a little pressed on time here, but...
Well, I think genetically he's white bread, no booty, pancake all the way down.
It would just take a ton of squats to get that popping?
Yeah, we'll worry about that later because we don't really... He doesn't get judged on his
butt. Oh, you're not getting judged on the ass?
Yeah, he has his board shorts.
I judge you every day on that ass.
So how hellacious is this last week going to be?
For you, it's probably not going to be that bad at all because you're probably... I can't really... I'm not going to take much away from you. You're going to look like a skeleton. I don't want to do that. So you're going to eat. You may, the next few days, you may have to work a little bit harder. Might I add, I was at GNC, and the little guy that worked there said that you've been a lot more intense in the gym. Thought that
oh,
I
that's
give
good.
That
yeah,
compliment.
Shout out to Sean.
Good job. Good job.
Shout out Sean there.
Good job.
Yeah. South
very
there.
Nice.
Mike?
Very nice.
What is this? What are these two jugs of stuff he's got back in there that he's taking? You got him taking all sorts of weird supplements?
I don't know. What are you taking?
Nothing weird. I just like I said earlier. Just
look at her face.
Stuff.
Look at her face.
Yeah,
well, Mike
is he
Anderson,
not supposed to be taking
you
know, this?
Mike Anderson is like one of those guys that he's such a bodybuilding fan. He goes on and like reads the forums.
Yeah,
and he doesn't realize that some of these forums are like 12-year-old kids that are posing as like bodybuilders, being like, "Yeah, man, this really works."
Mm-hmm.
And then he shoots me an email, being like, "Yeah, I'm gonna take this." I'm like, I don't think you should.
Nothing.
You should train hard.
Tell her what you're taking, Mike.
No, what you told me. It's just conjugated
linoleic acid.
Linoleic acid.
He's eating linoleum.
What does that do? What does CLA do?
It's just it's a fatty acid. Like it's one of your omegas, and it basically just kind of makes your body use fat for energy.
Mm. Cool.
I should say, and I haven't brought this up with you, but the digestion has been sketch lately, and I figured.
Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah,
I didn't want to be too crass.
Okay, I'll take care of that.
But I thought it was maybe supposed to be like that because you hear, you know, when people are cutting weight, you kind of want your fat to just stream through you because it kind of seems like that's happening to me.
Did you read that on the forums too?
No, I didn't.
Get off Reddit.